Welcome to the Amherst Wesleyan Church Sermon Podcast.
Hopefully you've all got your Bibles with you. If you don't have your Bibles, hopefully you've got your phone or tablet or laptop computer or whatever it is that you bring with you all the time, and that you've got the Bible on that. If you've got your cell phone and you don't have the Bible app on there, the YouVersion Bible app is a great option. There are all kinds of different options for that, but I tend to recommend that one because there's just so many resources and it's so accessible. And that was actually put together by a big church down in the States, and they put that together for free, and they give it out for free. If you don't like using your cell phone for stuff like that, there are physical copies around. Diana's got a couple there. Even if you don't want the app on your phone, you can just go to Google and you can type in Bible Gateway, or just type in the Book of Hebrews, and you'll find sources that way. But I want everybody to be using their Bibles. I want everyone to have access to their Bibles. And I know not everybody is a big reader, but it's important to understand that we all have access to God's words to us. And we don't need to wait for anybody, this day and age, we don't need to wait for anybody to reveal God's words to us. We have access to them, and we need to be digging into His Word. And so today we're continuing to go through the book of Hebrews. And so Hebrews is in the New Testament, so the Bible is broken into two pieces, essentially, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is what the Jewish people would call their Bible, and the New Testament is what we Christians have on top of the Old Testament, and that is about Jesus and His work and what happened after the time of Jesus. And so the book of Hebrews would be in the New Testament, and we don't actually know who wrote this book. We have some ideas of who wrote it, but it was a letter written to Jewish Christians, or the Hebrew people, and that's why it's called Hebrews, because it was written to the Hebrew or Jewish people. And as we are going through this, we are going through this book this month. We're taking big chunks of it and trying to figure out what is the point of what it's saying and what does it mean for us. We're here and we're getting pretty close to the end. And it's talking a lot about keeping your eyes on Jesus. And there are a lot of you in this room today, probably not all of you, but there are a lot of you in this room today who have already decided to follow Jesus. Right? Some of you have been doing it for a long time. Some of you, it's been a recent thing for you. But a lot of us in this room have been following Jesus and come against struggles. Whether you're new to this or you've been doing this for a long time, maybe years, you've come up against the struggles and the obstacles to following Jesus, haven't you? Sometimes they're big, sometimes they're in your face, and sometimes they're more subtle. One of the hardest things that we run up against is just how long the process seems to be taking. Some of you have struggled against sin or been just walking this journey, and it feels like you haven't arrived yet. You're looking at the world around you and you're wondering, like, how long until Jesus comes back? How long until we see that change? It feels like it's taking too long. And you start to wonder, am I even able to last long enough? How long is this going to take? Other times you've looked at your life and you've thought, man, I really miss whatever. I really miss how I used to live. I really miss some of those old things. I really miss just doing whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, and not having to worry about what God said about it. I liked doing things the old way, and there you have faced the temptations of looking at your old life, and you've been drawn back to it. And maybe you've given into it, maybe you haven't, but you have felt that draw back and thought, oh, it would be nice. It would be nice just to do it the old way. Some of you are in this environment, whether at work or at school or with your family, and you just feel this pressure. You feel this pressure from the people around you. And maybe they're very subtle with it, and sometimes they're not very subtle. Sometimes they're in your face, obnoxious about it. But you feel this pressure that says, you're dumb for believing this. You don't know what you're talking about. Why are you putting these limitations on your life? Why are you believing fairy tales? This shows us that you're an idiot, that you're not smart, that you're useless, and that you're getting in the way of you and your life, and you're getting in the way of the happiness that you could be providing your family. And they are just pushing and pushing and pushing on you, and you feel that pressure. You feel that pressure. That pressure's hard. And sometimes it slips in maybe you want to give up, maybe you want to not speak about it anymore, maybe you start wondering, maybe they're right. But it's hard. It hurts. And then those people, oftentimes those are people that you want to impress or people that you want to be close with or people that you love, and their words just hurt and hurt and hurt, and you wonder, can I just make the hurt stop? Other times, you're walking this road of faith and you're trying your best to follow Jesus, and some of the things he's asking you to do is just, they're just hard. When he asks you to do something different with your money, or he asks you to change your plans about your career, or he asks you to stand up for something, or he asks you to go against what your friends or your family or your colleagues or your boss is telling you to do because you know it's not right, and you look at those situations like, that's hard. How do I make that leap? How do I take that step? How do I take that risk? Money is tight, and the people in my life, like, if I tick them off, then I lose my job, or then I'm alone in the situation, and the consequences of that for me and my family. It's just overwhelming, and you're like, I don't know if I can take those steps anymore. And then you look at this Jesus thing, and you start to have your own doubts. Is this real? Does this matter? It doesn't make a difference. Is this really true? And you're doing what you can, you're taking the steps to follow Jesus, but it feels like it is hard. Well, in the book of Hebrews, the author talks about some of these things, and he talks about some of these struggles. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 and 28, this is what the author writes. He says, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. In chapter 10, verse 36, the author writes, you need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. In chapter 11, verse 1, he says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." And later in verse 8, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." Let me read that again. "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." This is what I think the thought is of these verses and of this situation that I want us to grasp here this morning. We need to keep following Jesus because we don't know where to go next, and he does. We need to keep following Jesus because we don't know where to go next. But he does. Abraham followed, even though he didn't know where he was going. He followed because he knew the person he was following knew where to go. Jesus has done the work. He has had the victory. And we need to persevere. We need to keep going. When you run a race, do you get the prize in the middle of the race? No, because then you wouldn't bother finishing the race. Unless you're one of those crazy people that really likes running just for the sake of running. Are there any of those insane people here? Oh, we'll pray for you. Goodness. Goodness. No, you get the victory prize at the end of the race. Tell you, this year I tore apart the deck on the back of our house. I tore it off the house and I built a new deck. And me being the frugal monster that I am, I took the pieces from the old deck, pulled the nails out of it, and built a garbage bin out of it. And boy, is it a glorious garbage bin. If I wanted to go back and use that garbage bin to have a deck again, could I? No, because I chopped it all up and made it into something totally different. This following Jesus thing is kind of like that, where we're on this new path and we're committed to it. There's no going back to the old way. There's no going back to the old style of things, the old rules. We are into this Jesus thing and we are facing it and we are there. But we need to follow through. We need to get to the end in order to get the prize. And we do that in other things in our lives. When you guys go, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but those of you that go camping with tents, you go, you get the tent poles out, you look at everything, you put them on the ground, you're like, this is a giant mess. And then you've got to somehow put the poles together and put it into the tent, and it doesn't look anything like a tent. It looks like a hot mess, doesn't it? That's what it looks like on the ground. And it doesn't even look like a tent until the very last step. It's not something that it starts to look like a tent as you go. No, it just looks like more piles and more piles, and it's not until you lift the thing up that it actually looks like a tent. We still follow the instructions, well, some of us do, follow the instructions on how to put the tent together, even though we don't see it really coming together, even though we don't really see it finishing until that last step. We do that in things in our lives, is we are able to follow the steps even though we don't get the prize until the end. When some of you go traveling, especially for me, when I go traveling, I'm using the GPS on my phone because I don't trust myself with directions. I get lost very easily, and Heidi is not very good at giving directions. You can tell her that. She knows. She knows. She is much better at navigating on her own, but she is not good at helping me navigate. She's the kind of person that will tell me to turn, like, as we're at the turn. Not before. It's like, oh, you should have taken, oh. I use the GPS. And the only way the GPS really works is you've got the destination, and you follow the instructions step by step. If you wait until the very end of the journey to follow the GPS, you're probably not even in the place to follow it to the destination. And if you follow it halfway and then turn it off, you're still not at your destination. And so we are used to these situations where we have to follow steps by faith. You have to put trust in what you're following. And you understand that the only way it really works is not if you go halfway, not if you go partway, not if you get the tent poles in the tent and leave it on the ground, but if you go to the end, only then do you get the prize. Only then do you arrive. Only then do you get where you're going. And the thing is that Jesus knows where to go. He knows the steps. He's already lived the life. He died, and then he rose again. He's been through that whole journey. He has dealt with temptation. He has dealt with pain. He has dealt with doubt and fear and attacks. He has dealt with how long is this going to take. He has dealt with people pushing against him. He has dealt with betrayal. He has dealt with all of that, and he is come out the other side victorious and alive with eternal life. He has done the journey. He knows how to get there. He knows where to meet you where you are and take you where it is that you need to go. He knows the journey, even though we don't. And if we want to get the prize, if we want to get what he has, and if we want to get where he's going, then we need to follow him the whole way there. And every time that we tend to look at him and go, you know what, I think you're wrong. I think I should take this road instead. I think I should go that way instead. I don't think I need to go all the way there. And we get off the path and we stop following Jesus. We end up someplace that we shouldn't be. And then you have God screaming at you, make a U-turn, make a U-turn, make a U-turn. Turn left when you can. Turn left when you can. We have proved to ourselves over and over and over again that we don't actually know how to get where we need to go. And Jesus has proved over and over and over again that he does know where to go. And the reality is we need to persevere to get the prize. We need to keep following Jesus because we don't know where to go next. And he does. It's by following Jesus that we get forgiveness of sins and we are saved from judgment. It's by following Jesus that we get this transformation that begins now and continues on into the future where our insides are changed instead of being this thing that we are struggling with our own internal nature, not outside temptations, but our own natural responses of hate and bitterness and anger and frustration and greed and selfishness and lust. Instead of fighting with our own nature, he starts to change the inside of it so that what naturally bubbles up from inside and out is good and glorious and holy and righteous and pure and full of love and selflessness. He does that work, and he works inside of us, and he changes others, and he changes our family, and he saves others, and his promises are fulfilled, and you will see that your family starts to change, and your grandkids begin to change, and your kids begin to change, and your spouse becomes saved, and things just start changing in the world around you. That's where Jesus leads. But you got to keep following him to get there. So what does that look like? What do we do with that? How do we apply that? What does it mean to keep following Jesus? Because we already know that there are lots of struggles and we are up against a lot of things that keep us pushed against following him. Whether it's how long it's taking or how hard it is or the pressure from other people or just our own doubts, whatever it is, we know that we've got all those obstacles. How are we supposed to actually keep following? Because it's fine for me to stand up here and say, just keep following. Just keep doing it. What are we supposed to do? Well, when you feel like going back to the old way of living, whatever that is, an old habit, an old sin, an old relationship, those things that were destructive, what you need to do is you need to remember where that leads. If you want to go back to the old way of living, you're allowed to do that, but you need to understand that if you follow that, you're going to go where that leads. If you follow that donkey, you're just going to end up where the donkey goes. And so if you want to live the old life, you can live the old life, but you need to stop and you need to remember where that leads and the pain and the problems that that results in. Not just the pain and problem along the journey, but where it gets you. And consider where Jesus is going to get you instead. When you find that it is just taking so long to see the victory, I think the important thing is to pause and remember the goodness of God that he has already given you. And understand that this journey is a not yet, but an already too. That we have Christ with us. And that we get to enjoy his presence and feel his presence and not go on this journey alone. And we often are just looking so far to the future that we forget that he is right beside us in the moment. And we need to become more aware of his presence presently. When you feel that pressure, when you feel that pressure from other people or circumstances in life that just is fighting against the steps of faith that you are taking, the steps that you're following Jesus in, whether that's your job or your money or your family or some moral decision or whatever it is, and you feel the pressure pushing against you, It's like the aches and pains when you're working out. It's the aches and pains when you're in a race. It's the fatigue when you're trying to run and compete. You've got to remember the promises that are ahead. The good things, the rewards that God has promised you, that salvation, that victory, that change on the inside, the change that you'll see in your family, the change that you'll see in your kids, the change that you'll see in your grandkids, the change that we'll see in our community. You've got to remember those things. When you have the aches and the pain and the pressure, you keep in mind why you're doing it and what the results will be if you can push through the pain. When it's just hard, when following Jesus is just hard, he's asking you to do hard things, to make big changes, to take crazy steps, you got to remember that Jesus has already done it. And you don't have to come up with the strength. He's got the strength. He's already done it. That's what communion is. We already have the strength and the resurrection power of Jesus. He gave that to us already. We're not doing this faith journey based on our own strength and our own power and our own ability. We can't. We can't do it. And we're not supposed to do it, and we don't have to do it on our own because Christ has already done it, and he has made that power available to us. And that's why he died and rose again, and that's why we practice communion, and that's why he sent us the Holy Spirit so that we didn't have to do it on our own, and we've got his power, his victory. He already proved that he can do it, and he made sure that that power is available to us. So don't lean on your own power. You're in this spot, and you're like, God, I can't do it. Okay, ask for the Spirit, because his Spirit is able to do it. Don't just end it with, I can't do it. Go, God, I can't do this alone. I need you. And he will give you the Spirit. When you start to doubt, I want you to think about Hebrews chapter 11, which lists person after person after person after person in the Bible who walked by faith to receive the promise that God had set before them, like Abraham. And I want you to think about the people around you in your life who have gone before you or who are walking beside you and walking in faith and looking at them, see how they have walked by faith and what God has done in them. Remember that you are not alone, and remember that there are many, many, many examples of people who have walked by faith and received the promises of God. Remember that. Remember that you have seen Jesus lead them where they need to go next. And Jesus was right. Now, if you're here today and you're sitting there and you're thinking, yeah, but I'm not really convinced about this Jesus thing. I'm not really sure. I'm not in this place where I need to keep following Jesus. I'm in this place where I'm not sure if I want to start following Jesus. Well, then I need to ask a couple questions in that situation. The first one is, are you convinced that you know the way? Are you certain you know the way forward and where that's leading? If you are, then you've probably just got to give it a little bit more time here. But if you're here and you're like, I think I know the way, but you're starting to doubt it, you're not really sure you know the path forward, then that means you've got to start looking for maybe somebody else that knows the directions better. Second question, do you want what Jesus leads to? Do you want that life everlasting? Do you want forgiveness? Do you want that change on the inside? Do you want your failures and your screw-ups and your sins to be forgiven and not to determine your future anymore? Do you want your natural inclinations to be pure and holy? And if you're in the place where you're not completely convinced you know right, and you want what Jesus is leading toward, then the last thing you need to understand is that there is absolutely no proof that completely guarantees it. There is lots of evidence. There is the promise. There is the giving of the Holy Spirit that shows us that he is there and that he is going to do it. But there is no hard and fast proof that I can just serve up on a platter for you. This is a statement of trust, of faith, Because I could even show you that he has worked in the past, and he's worked in the past in my life, and even if I could show you absolute proof of present action or past action, I cannot give you proof about future action. I cannot give you proof about what God is going to do next. And at every step of the following, it is a risk. You have to take a chance. And for some of you here, that's what you need to do next. Is you need to take that chance. You need to take the risk and admit, I don't know where I'm going. I want what Jesus has. I've just got to take a chance and start following and see where he is going. Because it's worth the risk. The worship team is going to come up and they're going to do a song or two as we close here. But whether or not you are in this place where you are following him, or you're wondering if you should start following him, you need to understand that the situation we're in is that we need to follow Jesus because we don't know where to go next. And he does. And where he's going is good.
Thanks for listening and being part of our church and joining us in this journey to become down-to-earth people following Jesus in down-to-earth ways.